Welcome to the West Coast Project podcast for Better Call Saul. My name is Mike.
Hi, I'm Kelly from Breaking Bad Fun Facts.
Hey, Kelly. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
Good. So we're up to number 4 in season 3, Greenlight.
Greenlight was written by Sam Gatlin, and he is an excellent writer. And this is a really interesting episode. A lot of things happen in this episode. As I was going through and kind of rewatching everything, in the first scene with Jesse, you see him pull into the Big Chief gas station. And if you remember, the last time we saw him, Saul had brought him a cactus to his house and asked him to start cooking.
Yeah, I was wondering, is that Big Chief gas station the one where Walt is coming back home on his way from on finale on the very last episode? Is that the same gas station where he leaves the watch on the phone?
That is a good question, and that's actually something I should research for a fun fact. I didn't put that together, but possibly yes.
Yeah, because it looks kind of like it's all open, and there looks like there could be a payphone like out by the road, kind of off away from it.
Yes, I'm actually going to look into that. Thanks for bringing that to my attention.
Yeah.
I don't want to
short circuit your notes there, but let me catch up on something from the last episode before I forget about it.
Oh, sure.
We were talking about Tortuga and, well, actually, we were talking about Hank and why Hank was afraid to go to El Paso. And in episode 3 in season 3, IFT, that was a flashback of Tortuga and Juan Bolsa. So the tortoise has already blown up, and Hank's already seen it. That was back in season 2, episode 7.
Yeah.
So that's why he's so afraid to go back to El Paso. I checked all that out. That's Negro y Azul, Black and Blue, was that episode. And he's just having... This is a flashback to what happened prior to the tortoise blowing up.
Yes, those flashbacks can be tricky. And there's actually a scene in here that we'll get to, too, that they're kind of he's having his hesitations. But when you see Jesse walk into this store, he's by himself. We're not quite sure what the situation is. And he is opting to trade his bag of meth, his little teeth, for gas and cigarettes. So it's looking like he's either needing to cook or do something. So
now, is that what a teeth is worth, like $80 for a little 16th of an ounce?
I don't know the exact figures on that, but from the show, it seems like it would be around that much.
Because that seems like a lot of money for all those tweakers on the street. Like, they have $80 for every teeth. That seems like a lot of money for people like that.
I know, I agree. I can never quite figure out how that works.
Maybe he was just kind of saying, here, this is all I have, so try this.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't make that add up in my head, but...
Yeah, and he's in total survival mode, and she's telling me, well, my dad was in Fallujah, so, you know, I really can. I'm really sorry, and he really turns on the charm, which I found interesting because you don't really see him being too much of a ladies man to see him really pull a charm. He was really in a desperate situation to get her to take that. And it kind of annoyed me. I don't know how you felt, but to get her to try something, you know, where she's like, isn't this addictive? And he's trying to, oh, no, it's not. I thought that was a little shady of Jesse.
Well, it's very shady of him, but I think it also shows that he really is a pretty good salesman. He does have a pretty charming personality when he needs to have it. Because she asks, like, what's it like? And he's like, oh, it's like dagger. It's like a sharp, chilly dagger. You know, like he made it sound kind of cool. And, you know, it's totally bad to do it, but he sells it. You know, he sells it really hard on her.
Yeah, he does. And then in the next scene, you see Saul Goodman, being the sleazy Saul Goodman that we know and love, is kind of fishing through a bag of fake neck braces to give to his client. So you can just tell that his personality and his beliefs and what is right or wrong are pretty thin.
Yeah, it looks like he's setting that guy up for his court appearance, so he looks like he's hurt more than he really is to get more money out of whatever. pretty sleepy, right?
Trying to promote a class action lawsuit for anyone who had any emotional distress, even if it was just emotional, and just trying to pull more money out of people. That guy is, Saul's awesome.
Yeah, he was getting them. He was getting those victims to network with their friends. Like, if you know anyone on the ground, even with just emotional trauma, like it doesn't have to be a passenger or a family member. Just anyone who saw it, that was pretty bad.
He has no shame whatsoever.
Right.
So then, of course, Mike walks in to alert Saul that Walt and Skyler are fighting, and they're not only fighting, they're loud and they're talking about some things such as drug money and cooking meth, and they're listening to how Skyler admits that Walt had kind of was trying to get her to admit to the cops, daring her to tell the cops. So they're listening to all this and they're thinking, oh, shit.
Because yeah, do you think she was trying to actually get Walt to say something, or do you think she was just, they were just being angry with each other?
Well, they were just being really angry with each other, and of course they don't know that Saul has put bugs in their house. But all the incriminating things that they were saying on the video, and of course Saul's afraid that Walt's going to get arrested, maybe not only for being careless, but then also he's pretty pissed off about Ted, which is another thing that they're arguing about.
Yeah, Walt looked pretty calm at that dinner. Like, oh boy, I guess this is bad, but he's not calm here. He's really mad about all this.
Right, exactly.
And we're going to see what he does because of it. But
right, yeah. So he shows up to Ted's, and of course, this lady, the receptionist can see he's obviously upset about something, and of course is trying to get him to just go away, and he opts to sit and wait. And she tries to call Ted, which I'm not a fan of Ted. I think he's kind of a sleaze too, and he looks through the blinds, of course, alerting Walt that he knows he's there.
Yeah, he's a baby. He's a wimp. He's afraid to come out and confront Walt.
Right.
that receptionist really hates Skyler too. Probably hates both of them, right? She, when Skyler came in to apply for that job again, she really gave her kind of the cold shoulder.
She did.
Back a couple seasons ago, but that was she's just an icy looking woman.
She really is. And then of course when he tries to pick up that, you know, 100-pound or plus plant that he can barely carry, and she comes down the stairwell and is like, "What are you doing?" Then and now it's obvious to everybody that there's something going on between the three of them. So that didn't help Skyler's case, you know, if you work in an office environment.
Yeah, to have your husband come in and confront your boss with a potted plant.
Right, and she's a brand new mother too, so they're like, you know, what's your deal? You're getting with the boss, you just had a baby, you know, kind of integrity you have. How'd you get your office in the corner? So how he tries to do that. And then, of course, when they throw him out, and when he's out in the parking lot, he's looking at another way to get in. He starts to see the back door, and as he's heading through the parking lot, Mike comes in one of his many late-model vehicles and scoops him up so that he can't cause any more harm to himself.
Yeah, you're saying that sarcastically, right? Because that car is not – that's like an ancient model vehicle.
Yeah.
It's like a 15-year-old car.
Yeah, so I think they opted. They didn't have any dialogue; just scooped him up and threw him in the car. So, of course, when he gets to Saul's office, he's heated up because we all know Walt doesn't like to be derailed on any plan of his own. And Saul slips up by divulging things about their conversation that Skyler and Walt had. And Walt's like, "Well, how do you know where I was? How do you know that Skyler's having an affair? And how did you know I was at Ted's?"
Yeah. And also, Kelly, you were right, because here's where Saul was talking about his second wife screwing my stepdad.
Right.
Like, it's not so bad, Walt. I caught my second wife screwing my stepdad. And, you know, you just have your wife and you just have a rough patch here. It's not so bad. But yeah, because Saul's twisting words and Walt kind of catches him twisting his words and figures out that, how did you know all of this just happened?
Right. Then he doesn't help himself because this one, he says, when he's talking about Skylar, he says she snuck off the reservation to get some dirty, damp, and deep, which causes Walt to just go apeshit and attack Saul in the office.
Not the most sensitive way to talk to a guy whose wife is cheating on him.
Right. Right. So, and it's funny because Mike's just sitting there kind of rolling his eyes. He doesn't run to Saul's aid very quickly and finally kind of gets up and decides he should probably pull them apart. But then Saul's calling Walt a crybaby and boo-hoo, you don't want to cook meth. And then kind of as an act of rebellion takes the website, the Save Walter White website, and discontinues it. So that answers your question on why there's no more donations being made.
Right, it did. It's funny how all this stuff comes together on this on the rewatch, that you can just see how they meshed it all together. Everything's connected perfectly.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. There's always something to put together with something else.
And we're learning that Mike is like really a calm character. Like nothing rattles him. He can be. He got caught with the bugs. He's got. You know, he's just drilling the holes and taking the bugs back out, and he's really cool about it. And then he's really cool during this fight. And he's just such a cool character that really makes him very likable right off the bat.
Yes, a lot of people like Mike. I think he's one of, whenever I do a fun fact about him, he's one of the people's favorite characters. Which is good you mentioned that, because the next scene he is taking out the bugs out of the wall, and Walt's kind of berating him and you know, saying, oh, this is a really outstanding line of work you're doing in a really snarky, sarcastic way. But most importantly is that when they're walking out, there's that scythe on the, that kind of chalk mark that the cousin make.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Right, so there's that famous line, you know, Walt, it doesn't hurt to have someone watch your back. Walt basically just wants to do away with everybody. So then you see Carmen and Walt, and they are... Well, first, you see Walt sitting in the classroom, just kind of checked out. He doesn't seem like he's real interested in his class or what he's doing. Carmen, who's... I think she's been alerted that his academic performance has been slowing. She asked for him to come to her office.
Yeah, she's got, like, the nurse, the school nurse or somebody with her. Like, aren't they almost worried that Walt's got some medical issue? Like, he's just dazed or something? Because that other lady looked like some kind of nurse to help Carmen.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because she said, you know, we know that you're going through a lot, but still your academic performance is still important. And if there's something wrong, then you need to talk to me about it. And he's talking about what kind of dog she has and just really checked out. And then, of course, you remember the scene where, and I was shocked. I don't know if you were. I was surprised when he hit on her and made a pass at her on the couch.
Yeah, that was crazy at the time, the very first time we saw it.
I was like, and I don't know if that was just a rebellion to try to get back at Skylar or if he's just really off his rocker at that point.
Yeah, I don't know what this whole scene is about. Like, is he really off his rocker or is he trying to make it look a certain way? It looked like he was kind of crazy a little bit.
Right, right. Just kind of nothing to lose. But just a fun fact really quickly on Carmen. Her name in real life is Carmen Serrano. She actually grew up in Chula Vista, California, for people who are from California. And so her name's Carmen, and she plays Principal Carmen. So
yeah, she was a great character. I wish we could have seen more of her. She's really pretty, and she's really kind of smart.
And she had an ass like an onion, apparently, according to Hank.
Oh, right. That's another good thing. Forgot about that.
Yeah, can't forget that. So then they got the bug, the VW bug pulls up into the airport. And one important thing on this VW bug that Marie drives is people have questioned, well, why is it not purple? Everything, including her toaster, is purple. And Vince Gilligan had explained that their budget is not one where they could afford to get this thing painted. There's not a lot of purple bugs around. So they actually rented this one. But it's kind of been a question, on all the purple she has, why is she driving this blue car? So I thought that was kind of interesting.
You know, I actually remembered it being purple until you just brought that up. But now here looking at it, you're right, it's blue. It's like metallic blue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because, you know, Vince is such a stickler for detail that it actually really bothered him that they couldn't have a purple car for somebody who's so obsessed with that color.
Yeah, but, well, seeing this scene made me go back and do that research on Tortuga because I had to know why Hank is just so stressed about going to El Paso. And that, of course, is the reason.
Right. Those flashbacks can kind of confuse you. And I was confused, too. And here in the scene, when he's talking to Marie, and he's trying to, it almost seems like he's trying to convince her and himself, because he's trying to tell her, well, El Paso is the Super Bowl.
Exactly. It's the path to D.C., right? We got to do this to get our next notch up to maybe get stationed in Washington.
Right. And she says, well, what about last time? Which would indicate she's talking about the last time that Tortuga was involved. When you see him get out of the car, too, another detail that owed to the prop department is that they put the Wayfarer sign up there. So it actually looks like that's the airline that he's going to.
Oh, cool. I didn't notice that. That's a great point.
Yeah. So they do that. And then, of course, he gets the call that the meth is back on the market somewhere. And, of course, as we know, that's later on, that's Jesse's meth. So he inadvertently got Hank back on his trail.
Yeah, this was a very cool scene with details, too, because I noticed as Hank got out of the car, you can hear a jet on the runway, like, revving up its engines, like, almost the tension in Hank's head is revving up. And it just got louder and louder, and then he got that call. And then, of course, he gets the cab and goes back to his office. But the tension built up more and more until he realized he had an escape route where he could get out of going to El Paso. That was that engine revving up on the plane on the runway. Just really great detail. Who would have thought of that, you know? That's such super directing to have that in as part of the scene.
That's excellent. That is such a good point, and I had not noticed that, so I'm going to have to go back. I do remember that now that you mention it, that there's a loud plane when he's getting out of the car. And then, of course, Walt's coming out of the school, and he's carrying his box, which I don't understand if he was trying to get fired, because he's stopped cooking now. He's not wanting to cook. He's out of it, and now he's essentially lost his job. Says he's on a permanent sabbatical, I think. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, I think he went bonkers a little bit here because he doesn't really want to lose this job. He doesn't want to cook.
Right.
He's just zoned out. You know, he's a lost soul a little bit. And maybe the move on Carmen was just like, well, Skylar's going to have someone to love her. I want to try to love this woman, you know?
Right.
It was just a way out of place, but I can't figure out any other reason for it. He didn't seem to have an ulterior motive.
No, not at all. And more amazing, too, is how many times has he scolded Jesse for showing up when Jesse showed up with the RV at the house in the early season, or when he picked him up with the meth lab to the airport. Or times that Jesse's trying to make contact with Walt and he just goes off the rails. And now Jesse's sitting out in the parking lot and does a real inconspicuous beep. And Walt gets right in the car and puts his box right on the top of the hood. On the top of the roof.
Yep.
And Jesse's like, well, should we go somewhere? No, I'm fine right here.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just in another fugue state.
Yeah, it's very interesting how no was not worried. And plus, he's at school where, you know, that's been the big problem is that, oh, well, we got a former student cooking with a teacher and everything they're trying to avoid. And there he's sitting there with them, especially with the box on the top of the car. It was pretty comical.
Yeah, right. And a giant bag of meth that Jesse's about to show him.
Right. So then Jesse, of course, is asking to get introduced to Gus. And Walt, if Walt's not going to cook, well, nobody's going to cook. And as soon as he sees Jesse bring out this beautiful bag of meth, which is really on level with Walt's product, you could see his intimidation and his anger just goes right after Jesse.
You think he was intimidating him because it looks so good?
I think he was intimidated by that product.
Yeah, because he was saying stuff like, this is shoddy work, Jesse. I'm embarrassed for you to even show this to me.
Right, because in that scene, right before Jesse asked him to get a meat, Walt was actually pumping him up with all these different things that he could do if he didn't cook. And Jesse says, well, no, I don't want you to cook. I want to start cooking. And then when he shows him this bag, all of a sudden he's a loser. Well, you couldn't have possibly cooked this right. This is inferior. This is an embarrassment. And he's shoving a huge bag of meth in his face in the school parking lot.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Walt's threatened by how good of a job Jesse did, and he's trying to keep him down, stamp him down.
Mm-hmm. Right, because if he needs to be needed. And he knows that if he's going to be... if he's not cooking, damn well, Jesse's not going to be cooking. And if Jesse's going to be cooking and having the same product, he says, well, I'll give you a cut. And Walt's like, I cut you in, buddy. So.
Yeah, so this is some Heisenberg coming to life here. Because, like, he's got nothing to gain by keeping Jesse out of the business if he doesn't want to be in the business. It's all pride. Right. It's all like, you can't make my product and bring it to the market. You know, it's my product.
Right. Right, exactly. Then there's a quick scene where Skylar is making copies and at her workplace and mentions to that steely-eyed woman that the day is dragging, and she kind of gave her the cold shoulder, and it showed a quick second of Ted and her being intimate for just a moment. So apparently Walt coming to work and trying to get at him didn't intimidate Ted at all, which that seems right about Ted. He doesn't seem like, you know, he's got such an ego. He's such a narcissist. I don't could see him being really that fearful.
So why is Skylar still having sex with Ted? She proved her point. So she didn't just do it to prove her point. She must like it. She's connecting with Ted.
Well, I think she, at that scene, it shows her standing on the wonderful heated floor. And I think she's still looking for companionship. And she mentions something about moving in, or he mentioned something about moving into her, and he wants to know about Walt, and she's just, I'm not comfortable talking about it. But I think she's just not quite ready to let go.
Skylar hate pretty high at this level for most people.
Yes. Yep. This did not do her any favors whatsoever. And then the funny scene where Hank is interviewing that junkie Russell, who they're trying to get him to remember the name of the person that sold him the meth. And he says, I definitely remember the muh sound.
Yeah, so, that was funny. I was trying to remember where that meth came from before I kind of clicked it into place later on in the episode. But I wondered, like, okay, is this the gas station? Is it from Gus? Or is it directly from Jesse? What's it come? And then I got my answer later. I'm sure you'll catch up to it. But I remember wondering at this point.
Yeah, that Kara girl. I think she gave it to her cousin Matt.
Yeah, and she tried it and she didn't really like it, so she gave it to somebody, and then Matt gave it to this guy.
So then you got Jesse, who goes to Saul's office to show off his product, and of course, and Saul's going on and on about Walt. And how, you know, he's gone off the rails and he beat me up and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, Jesse throws this bag of beautifully cooked meth on the table and just shuts Saul right up. And Jesse says, hey, I need you to arrange a meet for me. I want to meet this guy. And essentially proves himself to Saul that he can actually cook too.
Yeah, Saul's like, whoa, you got something there.
Yeah.
Like, where'd you get this? And he's like, oh, I cooked it. So Saul sees that Pinkman's ready to go, even if Walt's not.
Yeah, because they never give Jesse credit for much. It's always they're trying to get through to Walt. And in the next scene with Mike and Gus, which this is the first time you see Mike and Gus together in a scene. And they're in their car, in Gus's car, and they're looking over Walt's medical records, trying to determine how long he's going to live. And the interesting part, too, is while they're filming this part, this was filmed in the airport parking lot, the Hank and Marie scene at the airport was being filmed right across the street.
Oh, so, at the same time?
Yeah, so for production costs, they said, well, we're going to the airport, we might as well get you guys over there, too. So they were both being filmed at the same time.
Might as well. That's pretty cool to know.
Yeah, trying to slow down on their productivity costs, because Vince Gilligan has mentioned the more that these characters are away from each other, of course, the more expensive it is to film. Because in the beginning, Jesse and Walt were together pretty much all the time. So now as things start to get separated and everybody's kind of going in different directions, it's costing them a lot of money to do these different scenes. So this is an interesting scene because, of course, Mike is asking, well, or he mentions the cousins are back. And Gus says animals. And Mike says, well, why don't you just tell Walt that these guys are coming after him? I mean, you're basically between them and an axe in the head. And he says the famous line, I don't believe fear to be an effective motivator. So interesting that then Mike says, well, hey, you know, Pinkman, he wanted to let you know that he's looking to sell. And of course, Gus is such a manipulative, calculating person. He accepts the deal. At first, his reaction is, I don't deal with junkies, until he finds out that Walt and Jesse are split. Then he decides, okay, do the deal.
Yeah, that shows how smart Gus is, because he says that in the breath of one sentence. He says, I don't deal with junkies, or I don't work with junkies. There's a like a 2-second pause, and he says, but do the deal. Like, he calculated all that in like the span of like 4 or 5 seconds that he could get Walt back in by manipulating Jesse.
Right. Yeah, and he's such an intelligent guy. I know Walt really respects him. If things were different, they could have been friends, I think. They're very, very calculating in the same way, but I think Gus is smarter.
Yeah, that's interesting. I bet they would be. They're like opposite sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
Both brilliant planners and pretty. They have evil. They have a little evil touch to that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So then Hank goes to investigate the gas station, and important note is that he's ignoring the phone calls by his boss. So he's really just dodging Texas altogether. After he got that call at the airport, he's off to check out the gas station. We run into Kara again, who, as we know now, Jesse gave her the meth in trade for the gas. And they were in this scene. It's interesting too, because Vince Gilligan was worried about Hank being too hard on Kara, because she starts crying. But at this point, I think the desperation for Hank to find answers, he really kind of goes hard on her.
But, he does, but you can see how Kara's tears start to melt Hank down a little bit. Like, he can't push her too far. Like, if she would have just started crying, he would have just stopped altogether, I think. He's got a pretty soft heart, pretty good heart.
Yeah. So, then, of course, he's trying to find out, well, what did this guy look like? Oh, yeah, these dreamy blue eyes. Well, yeah, he's great, but what did he look like? What was he wearing? And the only piece of information he could get, because the cameras in the place did not work, was that he was driving an RV. So, of course, he's a smart guy, and he goes out to the car and feels pretty much like he doesn't have much to go on. Then he sees the ATM machine and realizes, hey, there's a chance that I could see the vehicle in question on the camera.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I remember the first time I watched this, like, oh, yeah, ATMs probably do have a camera in there for security, but the average person walking around there wouldn't have thought there's another chance at a camera because of the ATM.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. And then this part I like, where Jesse is waiting kind of like under a bridge, and we wonder, well, what is he doing? And he's standing next to his car, and you see Victor, which is played by Jeremiah Bisui, who is a friend of mine and a very great guy, really, really cool. And it's funny, these menacing characters are really just nothing like the actors that play them. They're nothing like them.
In real life, yeah.
Yeah, he's actually very quite spiritual, really nice guy. But so he shows up and gives Jesse a bag, and they make their exchange. And by the time he U-turns it, Jesse realizes, well, wait, and says the line that I love, where's the other half, bitch, as he discovers that he didn't get his full payment for the drug load that he just handed him.
I made a couple notes on the scene before this, Kelly, that the scene right before this, they were having breakfast. And it's at the White's house, and they're all Skyler, Walt Jr. eating breakfast. Walt Jr. says there've been no donations for a while on the site. And of course, we know that's Saul shutting down the money laundering. But we know Walt's out of work, and they're all moving so slowly. Skyler's just moving really slowly. Walt's like a slug. But I noticed a couple things about this scene, like, that are outdated today, that only from like 4 years ago, because this episode was made in April of 2010. Uh-huh. That's when it aired. It was probably made a year before that, even. But like the newspaper Skyler's reading, nobody reads a newspaper anymore.
Nobody reads a newspaper. I know.
And I forgot to mention when she was at that copy machine at Beneke's. I mean, who sits at a copy machine now and makes copy after copy and prints out all that paper? People just don't do that anymore, you know? It's all PDFs and digital and... I don't know. It just seems it's like I made a note to mention this, that technology seems to have come really far in 4 years since 2010 when this was first aired.
They really do. I agree with you. There's a lot of stuff that seems kind of outdated now, and I really enjoy it. It's fun to see the difference. All I can say is I want to buy a burner phone just so I can crack it in half like Walt and throw it, because every time I see them do that, I'm like, why? I just want to try that just to see.
Yeah, get a Hello Kitty one and snap it in half.
Yeah, it just seems fun the way they crack them with their hands and just chuck them wherever. Like, I'm going to get a burner phone just so I can crack it in half.
Well, anyway, sorry, I interrupted you. You were talking about Victor giving Jesse only half the money.
Yep, so that basically was that, where's the other half, bitch? Then we were kind of like, well, what was that all about? So then you see Hank's boss, who is played by Michael Sheamus, and he was in Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, Merkert. I love that guy.
Yeah, yeah, he's cool. He's getting impatient with Hank, and Hank's just kind of joking around and being real lighthearted, and you can see that this guy's putting up with him, but is at the end is like, what is your answer? Are you going to Texas or El Paso, yes or no? Like, quit farting around with this answer. What are you doing? And Hank has to finally admit to himself and to his boss, no, I'm not going.
Yeah, that was a tough scene for Hank. It's like, are you going tonight? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna find out that this job actually goes to Gomi, right? In the next few scenes or few episodes.
Yes. Yes, it does. And there was a scene, I wonder if I skipped over it, where they were... Oh, it was right after the... when they were talking to that meth head guy about where the 13th came from. They walked out to the elevator, and Hank was all ready to go and check out the next lead, and there was a little bit of tension between Gomez and himself, because Gomez was like, I think you're reaching, dude. And Hank's like, well, if you're unstimulated by this, then you can just get reassigned somewhere else. And you can see a little bit of cracks in the foundation of their relationship as well.
Yeah, because Gomi was trying to be friendly. I think he put his arm on his shoulder or something. He's like, hang in there, bro. We can figure this out. And he's like, take your hand off my shoulder, bro. He's like right. Being a dick right back to him.
Yeah, he's like, what's up with you? You're starting bar fights? You're passing up El Paso? You know, what's going on here? So I had forgotten to mention that. But yeah, so now Hank's finally got it off his shoulders. He's no longer going to El Paso, and now he can chase around this Heisenberg. And then the final scene, we've got Walt sitting at a light, just kind of minding his own business. You see a car pull up, and then kind of rush around him up to the driver's side, chuck in a large bag of money. Well, actually, I think it was a El Pollo Loco bag, actually, full of money, and just drive off. And then if you notice at the very end, the light turns green, hence the name of the episode, Green Light.
Yeah, so that was one of the name game parts of the title.
Yeah.
Wasn't there another one, though? What was the other green light? Was it the green light of Hank going to getting the job in El Paso?
Not that I knew of.
It's usually multiple things, like they play games with the names.
The only one I knew of is when the light turns green at the end.
Yeah, but I think it also had the connotation of the green light of, like, we're green lighting you for this promotion.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Did you, in your trivia website, did you catch the name game of season two, like all the titles made up the sentence about the plane crash?
I did. It's... That just makes me love the show even more.
Yeah, so do you want to tell the listeners what it is? Do you remember it?
I don't remember it off the top of my head, no. Do you know what it is?
Yeah, I'm looking at the... If you look at the season two titles of the episodes, there's 13 of them, of course, but number one is 737, number four is down, and number 10 is over, and number 13 is ABQ. So if you put those all together, it's 737 down over ABQ.
That is awesome. Yes, I have heard that. I didn't remember exactly which ones. It's great how they do that. All the thought that goes into this show is amazing. Really well done. So that was the end of that. That's the end of Green Light.
Yeah, so the next one is Moss. It's cool that they have a No Moss was the first episode of season three, and then Moss is number five.
Yes.
And we'll do that one. So if you want to find our notes and just catch up with us, go to westcoastproject.com. We have a number of other episodes, other podcasts we do, but Better Call Saul is on westcoastproject.com. My Twitter is at @scathingtweets. And Kelly, what's your Twitter?
Mine is BRBA _ fun facts, but I also have Instagram and Facebook, which is Breaking Bad Fun Facts.
Okay. And you have your fun facts website and your Instagram and stuff with lots of cool pictures and information about a lot of things, Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
Yes. Better Call Saul fun facts. I've got so many I can't remember. Yes, Breaking Bad Fun Facts has 2,000 plus fun facts about the show, and Better Call Saul is updates as soon as I get them.
Yeah, and all those links are on the West Coast Project podcast for this episode and all of our episodes. So just go to West Coast Project. You can see all those links, or you can remember Kelly's names and go to them. But I made it pretty easy to get to your stuff through clicking through the website.
Excellent. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so we'll do the next one we're going to do is Moss. Like I said, we passed No Moss. Saul wasn't in No Moss. Saul's in almost every episode now from here till the end of the Breaking Bad series.
Great.
That's why it was hard to remember some of these facts, because some of these shows I didn't watch again because Saul was not in them, like the one where Danny Trejo was head was blown up on the tortoise.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a Saul one, so we didn't cover that one. But we're trying to cover them all till right up to the point of the new show starting on February 8th, I think it
yes.
is. And we'll have to work out our final schedule for that. But they're going to come out pretty fast and furious. Maybe not quite this long. Here we're at another 40 minutes, but we'll work that out. And we'll see you next time on Season 3, Episode 5, Moss.
Sounds good.